So by God's grace this morning, we want to look at a few thoughts on the matter of death that leads to fruitfulness. Easter is approaching, and this time every year, we reflect what Jesus did for us on that cross, which is something to some extent, we might understand what Jesus did, but the full ramification, the full extent, the deep implication, we can never get to the bottom of it until we get to see Jesus in eternity. So, we just now want to examine the death Jesus died on the cross for me and you. That death brought salvation. That death brought deliverance. That death on the cross took us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, we want to see what is the further implication of that death. And so we want to look at a scripture together in John chapter 12. The story of some people that came looking for Jesus. So I'll read from John 12. I'll take the reading from verse 20. And I'll just read it down to 27. John chapter 12 from verse 20. Now, there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves this life will lose it, while anyone who hates this life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." Verse 27. "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." I will stop there. May the Lord grant us understanding as we discuss together and we explore the implication of death that leads to fruitfulness. I have always, and I still ask the question, Lord, why is it that in my generation, I am not seeing more and more people come to know the Lord Jesus? That question has kept spurring me to pray more and ask God, "God, how can I be a vessel in your hand to bring people more and more to you?" I remember when I was a teenager back in Nigeria, I saw that you could go for a Christian meeting, and before the preacher finishes preaching, people are already crying and saying, "Lord, have mercy on me." I will never forget the meeting I went for. The brother just read the scripture, and before he started, Some people started crying in the background, and I thought, what's going on? One of the ladies got up and said, preacher, please stop. I need to confess. And as the woman was speaking, several other people got up. It's not only her, me too. I need to confess. And I saw people, and it was just touching to me that people will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. That was God at work. And the question has always risen, Lord, why is it that we are not seeing more and more of that in our generation? Why am I not seeing more of it now? And the more I ask that question, the more God keeps bringing up this issue. The necessary death that leads to fruitfulness. Now, for Jesus, even for Jesus to produce more fruit for the glory and for the kingdom of God, look at what he was trying to explain here. He was trying to explain this death that leads to more fruitfulness. Now, look at this story in verse 20. We have some Greeks. The Bible said they came to worship at the festival. Very interesting. They came for the festival. They were not satisfied with just coming to eat and drink. It was a festival. Do you remember when Jesus in Luke chapter 2 went up for the Passover feast in Jerusalem, where he got missing? Do you remember? The Bible said everybody went up, and when the Passover was over, the people returned. Jesus' parents returned, and they thought Jesus was in the returning company. But what was Jesus doing? Jesus stayed behind in the temple. He was doing what I call an extended Bible study in the midst of those teachers and professors of the law. He stayed behind to explore God even more. Not that he did not know God. He wanted to go deeper with God. And remember, last time when I shared here, we talked about going deeper with Jesus. So these Greeks were not satisfied with just going to eat and drink. They wanted to see Jesus. Do you see it in that scripture? The Bible said in verse 21, they came to Philip, who from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request, please, sir, we want to see Jesus. So what touched me there is that people are looking for the Savior. They might not realize that they need the Savior, but they know there is an emptiness in their lives that needs to be filled. And there is nothing else that can fill that emptiness but Jesus. The reason why, even in life, you can get very frustrated over circumstances and situations is because when we don't hold Jesus in the right perspective, it leads to frustration. Again and again, when I face challenges in life, the first question, you naturally ask is, oh Lord, but why me? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? But, beloved brethren, what God is calling us to, he's calling us to himself. Yes, there are going to be challenges. There are going to be situations that are terrible. But what Jesus is saying is, come to me, all you that are heavy laden. It is only in Jesus you will find true rest. You can't find true rest in circumstances. You see, even when circumstances are going bad, are going terrible, what Jesus is saying is, your rest, you can't find it in the peace of circumstances. Because circumstances will always change. Remember, we talked about it the last time, that in whatever height or in whatever situation you find yourself, you find out that there's always something more to go for. I used the example of myself. I thought finishing medical school, I'm sorted for life. I didn't realize that that was just the beginning. I thought once I get married, it will be okay. I didn't realize that there was the burden of looking after children. Oh, they are babies. Oh, now they are teenagers. And I'm thinking, oh Lord, keep them. And I know the worry will not finish. Because when they become adults, what's the next thing? Grandchildren. You thought as a parent, when your kids are have grown, you are sorted. No. You now have the added worry of looking after grandchildren. So there is always one situation or the other coming up. But what God is trying to teach us is this, that we have to rest in Him. Because to rest, you can't, to be honest, let me be very truthful with us. You know, on this side of eternity, you can't get full rest yet until you get to heaven. That's the truth. That's why you can only come hold on to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith, and who will give you true rest. That's why these Greeks, no matter the eating and drinking, no matter the festivities, they wanted to see Jesus. And who did they go to? They went to Philip. So, beloved brethren, the first challenge is for people to see Jesus. They will not see Jesus, first of all, somewhere else. It is through you and me they will see Jesus. The request, I thought they would have gone to Jesus direct, but they needed to go through those who knew Jesus. And that was why they came to Philip. Please, we want to see Jesus. And let's realize that that's the challenge we face. People will see Jesus only through our lives. The question is, am I going to be the good representative of Jesus that can actually bring people to see Jesus? Will I not be too burdened with the situation in my own life that will obscure people from seeing Jesus? Can my light so shine that when people are looking for Jesus, they can turn to you and say, but how do we deal with this situation? And because you are already sensitive to showing people Jesus, you will turn and say, this is what we talked about. I will never forget the day I had to explain to one of the nurses I was working with a situation that was boggling everybody's mind. So a lady came into hospital at 8 o'clock, and by 1:30, she had had her leg amputated because of a nasty flesh-eating bug. Very bad. And I was doing night duty that day, and I had to take her to theater twice to stop the bleeding and do other things. And the next morning, everybody in the department had heard. And then I was in clinic 2 days later. And this nurse came to me and said, I heard about how you were trying to save that lady's life. I said, we thank God. We are trusting God that she will survive. Then she asked me this question. How do you cope with this kind of thing? This lady came in at 8 o'clock. And by 1:30, her leg was off. How do you cope with it? And honestly, when she asked me that question, the reason why I thank God she asked me was because about 4 months earlier, I was telling this lady about Jesus. And here she was asking that question, how do you cope with this situation? And I turned, I said, do you remember when I was telling you about Jesus? This is where you need Him. to cope with this situation. There is more to life than meets the eye. In this world, we have no continuing city. We have no rest. We need to look beyond the physical and realize that there is a hope in eternity. And Jesus is the one that gives us that hope. Life, we keep throwing challenges. We keep throwing situations that are terrible. But for you to hold on, we need an anchor in the Lord Jesus. So, beloved brethren, what am I saying? I'm only saying, can we be sensitive to be ready to show people Jesus when they come calling? Those situations will arise. Colleagues at work will start exposing their very hearts to you, and you'll be wondering, why is this man telling me his secrets? It's because he's quietly yearning, show me Jesus. I'm praying the Lord will help us. So, they came to Philip. And what did Philip do? Philip went and told Andrew. And Andrew and Philip did what? They told Jesus. So, anybody who is looking for Jesus, you are not Jesus. You can only show people Jesus. And the Jesus they knew, the Jesus Philip and Andrew knew, was, or their relationship with him was what they used to introduce these people to Jesus. So now, if you look at verse 23, this is what touched me, because I was wondering, if people were looking for Jesus, what would be the response? Jesus would say, come. But look at what Jesus said. They came and told Jesus, and said, Jesus, some Greeks are looking for you. I thought Jesus would have said, show them, come, call them. Let me have a chat. Let's discuss. But verse 23 says something different. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. That is the issue here now. This might feel very uncomfortable, but please, I pray that God will enlarge your heart so that you appreciate what the Holy Spirit is saying. For these people to see Jesus, they needed to see Jesus glorified. You see, it was not going to be enough that the Greeks would just come and see a physical Jesus. They needed to see Jesus glorified so that they could carry the gospel, so that they could carry salvation to Greece. It wasn't just enough for the Greeks to come and say, oh, we saw Jesus. He had long hair. He had a lovely mustache. In fact, when he was patterning his mustache, he patterned it to the side and to the front and to the back. Of what use is that? They needed to see Jesus glorified. So Jesus said, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now the question was, how was Jesus going to be glorified? He was going to be glorified by going to the cross. He was going to be glorified by dying. Look at it. Jesus now explained. He said, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat, falls to the ground and dies, it's alone. So for Jesus, for him to produce more fruit, he needed to die. He needed to go to the cross and be glorified. The Bible says, the Bible talks about the glorification of Jesus, saying that when Jesus is lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. It is this issue of death. How does it now apply to me and you as Christians? Can I just read the scripture quickly? We are coming back to John chapter 12. Just let's go to John 15. This was Jesus talking to his disciples, talking to them about bearing fruit. So, John 15, I'll read from verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will even bear more fruit, or it will even be more fruitful. Beloved brethren, for you and me to be more fruitful, Jesus needs to come with his knife again and prune our lives. The sword of the Spirit needs to be applied consistently on your heart for you to bear more fruit. There needs to be a dying daily. Now, it's not physical death. A dying daily of your human nature so that Jesus can be glorified. You see, we can't escape it. If we are really searching and say, Lord, help me to be fruitful, God is saying, come and die more. What does this death actually mean? Jesus told the disciples who were following him, he said, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself. Have you read that scripture before? Let him take up his cross daily. Let him follow me. Three conditions for following Jesus. Denying yourself. Taking up your cross, not once in a while. Daily. You see, the reason why it is daily is because Jesus, the symbol of death, is the cross. And for you to put yourself under all the time, for you not to glorify God or for you to please God, self, the I, the me, myself and I needs to die. But it doesn't just die on its own. It needs to be subjected to the cross of the Lord Jesus. I hope I'm not becoming too theological. I'm just trusting that it will be very plain and simple. That for me to glorify Jesus, to bear more fruit, Jesus is saying, you need to continually subject your life to the cross. Your ambitions, your plans, your interests, your desires, you need to consistently bring it to the cross so that Jesus can be glorified. If those desires, those human desires that are not of God, if they don't die, Jesus cannot be glorified. You see, they asked Jesus one question, or it was an appeal. When he was on the cross, if you look at Mark, I think it's Mark 15 now. I'll just read it. Because this issue of the cross is so important, we don't have time to explore it fully. But I just want to highlight it because it's very crucial. In Mark 15, when Jesus was on the cross, some people came to him. In verse 30, let me read it from verse 29. Mark 15 from verse 29. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, so you are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Verse 30, come down from the cross and save yourself. Come down from the cross. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross and save yourself. That call to Jesus has not stopped. People are indirectly telling you. The enemy is indirectly telling you. You too. Come down from the cross. Forget the cross of Jesus. This cross that represents death to the human nature, the old man, come down from it. Save yourself. And remember, the message of following Jesus is don't save yourself. Submit yourself to him. Give up yourself. But what's the world telling you? Save yourself. The call from Jesus to us is take up your cross. Stay on that cross. Be welded to the cross of Jesus. So that you can keep dying. And the dying, as you keep doing it, what is going to happen? You will glorify Jesus. As your character that needs shaping is dying to the cross of Jesus, what's happening? You will come out glorifying Jesus. If I don't submit my ambitions to the cross, I can't glorify him. It will now be selfish ambitions. And those ambitions, they can even look big and they might look spiritual. God will reject it because it has not been subjected to the cross. So, beloved brethren, in rounding up, what's the Holy Spirit telling us? Don't save yourself from the cross. Please, stay on the cross. Allow the death of Jesus work its full weight on your life, on your character, on your ambitions, so that Jesus can be glorified. As Jesus is being glorified, men will see him. People will come to him. That's the way we can be fruitful. That's the way we can keep sharing the gospel effortlessly, because we are being subjected to that same cross daily. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will help your heart. I know it's a difficult prayer to pray, but Paul said, I die daily. And of course, you know it's not physical death. It's the death of your ambitions that are not entirely with the will of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you help us. Lord, the matter of saving ourselves from the cross is not an option. If we are going to be fruitful for you, if we will not remain single and fruitless, we cannot save ourselves from your cross. And so, Lord, we are praying. Help us. Inasmuch as we are trying to hold on to our lives, help us, Lord, to submit that life to you, giving it up to you, because we cannot keep it. It's only wisdom for us to release it to you who is able to keep us. Lord, we are praying that you keep speaking. Areas of our lives that you are pointing to through your Holy Spirit for us to give up. Those issues in our hearts and in our character that you are trying to mold, Lord, we pray that you will help us to let go so that you can mold us, so that we can keep taking our cross daily. And we know as we keep doing this, as you keep molding us, we'll be molded into your very nature. Help us, Lord. We just pray that your word will go forth in our lives to bring forth fruit to the glory of your name. Thank you. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen.